This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Ari Shapiro. In this part of the program, we're going to get medical advice about staying safe and healthy as COVID-19 continues to spread. Dr. Celine Gounder specializes in infectious diseases at New York University, and she is here to answer your questions. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Gounder.
My pleasure.
Let's start with a question about recovery.
Hi, this is Washington Ross calling from Washington, D.C., and I'm wondering, after someone has already contracted and recovered from coronavirus, when is it safe for them to resume contact with the uninfected public, like going to the grocery store?
That's a good question. We've heard about a 2-week quarantine. Is that the guideline, or after somebody has had the virus and it passes? Dr. Gounder, what do you recommend?
Well, it really depends on what you're counting from and to. So when we talk about a 2-week quarantine, you're really counting from time of exposure to potentially developing disease, which is very different from what your caller is discussing, which is more about counting from having disease to when are you, safe to not transmit to other people. And so there's a lot of confusion about that. So 14 days is really from time of exposure to when might you develop disease. It's what we call the incubation period.
I see. And so if you have the disease, you're coughing, you have a fever, and then you're feeling better, how long after you're feeling better is it safe to go out in public again?
Well, that's actually an area where we have much less data. And so some of the departments of health, including the New York City Department of Health, are recommending, let's say you no longer have symptoms. From that point on, let's count 3 days, 72 hours, and say you're clear. I think that's probably about right for most people, but we don't have precise information because this is a new virus. That's not going to be exactly 100% right for everybody.
Okay. Well, here's another question from Jan Even in Oregon.
My question has to do with the pneumonia vaccine. I've read that about 80% of the cases are mild of people who get coronavirus, and that for those that do become more serious, it often turns to pneumonia. So I'm wondering, if you've had the pneumonia vaccine, does that protect you from becoming seriously ill if you do, in fact, get infected with the virus?
Dr. Gounder, do you have any insight into that? Is the pneumonia vaccine helpful at all when it comes to COVID-19?
Well, I have to say that is such an important and good question. So thank you for asking that question. I think what we need to distinguish are what I would call syndromes. So when we talk about syndromes, you're talking about, runny, stuffy nose, sore throat, bronchitis, pneumonia. Those are really about, this part of your body is infected, and these are the symptoms that go along with that. Mm-hmm. And there are many different viruses, bacteria that can cause each of those syndromes. So pneumonia, for example, can be caused by COVID-19. It can be caused by Streptococcus pneumonia, which is a bacteria. And that's the bacteria that the pneumonia vaccine is trying to protect you against. So, I think it's important to distinguish between the two. But where getting vaccinated, whether it's against the flu or the strep pneumonia bacteria, is really important, is here's how I think about it. It's basically this big haystack of things that can cause runny, stuffy nose, cough, cold in the winter, as well as pneumonia. And so the more you can prevent all of those things, the more you shrink the haystack and the easier it gets to find those other random things like COVID-19 that can be causing those symptoms, and then we can address those. But
so it sounds like you're saying a pneumonia vaccine is never a bad idea.
It's never a bad idea.
Okay. We got a question on Twitter just now from Sandra Vanderzicht, who asks, would you clarify aerosol transmission? A friend forwarded an LA Times article about a deadly outbreak at a choir practice in Washington State, but an expert on NPR said today that the droplets don't linger in the air. I actually saw that LA Times article and heard that NPR interview on All Things Considered this afternoon. I, too, would love some clarity on that.
All right. So this is a rather complicated question, and it's one that in my podcast with Ron Klain, we have addressed. So if you go back about a week ago, we have a bonus episode on the false dichotomy between droplet and airborne spread, and aerosol is sort of in the middle. I have spoken with a number of fluid dynamics researchers. So they really study like how does fluid and gas travel through the air with infectious particles. And there's a woman by the name of Lydia Bariba, who's a professor at MIT, who is the person, the gal on this. She just published another piece in the Journal of the American Medical Association on this last week, specifically looking at COVID-19. And I think there is a false dichotomy between what is droplet spread and what is aerosol, or I wouldn't go so far as to say airborne, but here's why it matters. It matters in terms of what distance you need to be from people and, and what protection you need to wear. So
but do we have enough research to know whether people should be worried about being breathed on by somebody with COVID-19?
Well, if somebody's breathing on you, it doesn't really matter how it spread, right? Like at that point, you know. But you know, that said, what I would say is for the average person who's not a healthcare worker, so your risk is already decidedly much lower. Your best protection still by far is the social distancing stuff. So stay home, stay within your household bubble. And I think of it as a bubble where literally you don't want to pop the bubble. So you don't want to pop it with anybody going in and out. And that includes, and this is where I've been very frustrated in New York, with people who have housekeepers and nannies. No, that does not, that's not allowed. You know, unless they're living with you full time, that constitutes popping of the bubble. So
somebody
I think that's
coming in and out.
And so that's so really important. It's not safe for them. It's not safe for you.
Just in the minute and a half that we have left of this segment, I want to pose this question for you from Helen in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, who asks, I wash my hands many times a day. I dry my hands on a terry cloth towel in the bathroom or the kitchen. Should I launder the towel each time, or should I use and waste paper towels each time I wash my hands? What guidance can you give her?
Oh, in terms of what to dry your hands with?
Well, whether a towel can carry whatever kinds of bad things you're trying to get rid of.
Well, if you washed your hands before drying your hands on that towel, that presumably no. I'm less worried about that, especially in terms of viruses. You know, bacteria, you could talk about, well, it's damp fabric and, you know, what might settle on there. But from a virus perspective, I am not so concerned. I think if you're washing your hands, I am really, really happy with you. I think you're doing the right thing.
Just applaud the people who wash their hands.
Yes,
don't make them stress out about how they're drying them.
Yeah.
Dr. Celine Gounder, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And she's going to be with us again later in the hour to talk through some of the difficult quandaries facing all of us these days. Decisions that may have once been easy or at least straightforward that have suddenly gotten a lot more complicated, like whether to see family or go through with a big move or just go outside. If you have questions, you can send them to us at npr.org/nationalconversation or on social media, use the hashtag NPRConversation.